Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Astrology Radio with your host, Janet Hickox, human design consultant and intuitive astrologer. At Living Astrology, we are tapping into the wisdom of the cosmos to uplift, empower, and enlighten people to their personal genius. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology. My name is Janet Hickox. I hope everybody's doing well. I know it's been a crazy week, and it's continuing to be a little bit crazy. The new moon on Saturday, at least here Saturday on the West Coast, but for most of you, Sunday morning occurred at 20 degrees of Virgo Pisces, and what an interesting moon that was. It was also a solar eclipse. And so I would bet there's a good number of people out there who've noticed some changes going on in their life since then, or who noticed things changing just prior to that lunar eclipse or solar eclipse. So today we're going to be talking about some of the fallout from that eclipse, but also looking toward the bulk of what is happening for us this autumn. And it's always interesting to look at the fall and the spring equinoxes, because they are usually the ones where we have eclipse patterns showing up, and it seems like they're energetically very busy times where we're often thrust into some form of change going on in our lives. And of course, with this eclipse last weekend, we opened up to the first time in 9 years of having the eclipse pattern be across Virgo and Pisces. And with Jupiter being in the sign of Virgo, we have a lot of energy right now focused in those two areas. And so wherever that falls in your natal chart, we find a lot of interesting energies popping up and different activities or challenges or things changing in your life are going to show up around that axis. You know, something else interesting that I noted today, I suppose everybody heard the news about the 8.3 earthquake in Chile yesterday that resulted in a very pounding tsunami that hit the entire coast of Chile. I believe some of the waves were 15 feet high that came through, 15 to 13 feet high. So when we're talking about an earthquake, we're talking about an earth sign. And when we're talking about the tsunamis, then we're talking about water signs. And what do we have but a Virgo-Pisces axis in a chart that's very active? Virgo is an earth sign, and Pisces, its opposing sign, is water. So I just had to go see what Chile's chart looks like, because every country, every state in the United States, or every state in any other country has a birth date and therefore has a chart. And if we look at the chart for those different places, when things happen, we can sometimes see, you know, what's the pattern that's developing. Well, wouldn't you know it, when I looked at Chile's chart, they have a Virgo sun. The sun is at 24 degrees of Virgo. Remember, the solar eclipse and new moon was at 20 degrees of Virgo, so very close. And the dividing line in the chart there for them, between the 10th house and the 11th house, which is not necessarily a very strong placement, but is certainly something that made me take notice, is at 15 degrees Virgo. And so we had this eclipse new moon happening sort of at the halfway point between their cusp of one house and the sun in the sign of Virgo. Opposing that is what was really interesting, and that's the planet Pluto. And this is just in their natal chart. So we really already see, or we can see, that they're possibly sort of kind of prone to, if you will, earthquakes that are also going to create tsunamis, particularly when you get the Virgo-Pisces axis stimulated. Now, is that the only time earthquakes are going to happen for them? Certainly not. I mean, if we go back a few years ago, they had another very big earthquake. I don't recall the details of what time of year that was or what planets were where, but it certainly gives us an idea of when planets are putting pressure on those two signs, Virgo and Pisces, in the chart for Chile, that we may see, another earthquake or another earthquake and tsunami pair occurring. So then, of course, I live in Washington State, where I don't know if you saw, there was this article, it was in the summertime, that totally freaked, Washington State and the Washington, Oregon, and Northern California being at having a subduction zone right off the coast, and it totally freaked me out. So then I went looking for Washington State to find out if I could discover anything there, any tidbits. Well, Washington State is a Scorpio and has Cancer as their moon. And so to me, that says if there was going to be a major earthquake, it probably should have been when Saturn was moving through Scorpio. Of course, that's not the only sign, again, but it is just kind of interesting to look at these big events that happen in countries, whether they're earthquakes or upheavals or changes in government or presidential elections, and see what the astrological aspects are. Because, of course, the major tenet in astrology is as above, so below, meaning that what's going on in the stars has a direct effect on what's happening here below. And it really never fails that there's something that you can see in the greater picture, because no astrology transit is happening just in that moment. It's building through, and it's also being affected by other planets that are in different places than they were in the birth chart. So it's also what I do when I look at your own personal charts. I'm sort of tracing through the placement of the planets and who's affecting what and why is it happening now. And usually that's because something has been triggered. So here we are today sitting at a Mercury retrograde. Mercury went to retrograde motion at 15 degrees of Libra today, where it will stay in retrograde motion now until October 9th, where it will change back to direct motion, meaning going forward again, at 0 degrees of Libra. And of course, that puts it in the terrain of the next eclipse that's occurring. So we're going to take a look at that in charts as well today, because it's interesting to note when a planet like Mercury is playing over the same signs where things have been happening, because it can kind of set up a pattern. And Mercury is retrograde in the sign of Libra. Remember, earlier in the year, Mercury was retrograde in Gemini and Aquarius. So it's making the rounds of the air signs this in 2015. And that means that everything to do with our minds, our ideas and thought processes are all things that we are looking at having disrupted during a Mercury retrograde. Now, this particular retrograde, of course, in the sign of Libra, has a direct effect upon our relationships as well as our partnerships. And it's always interesting to note, too, that when you have Mercury retrograde, often it brings up issues of the past, either with certain people or certain things that you were working on. But then you've also got two eclipses sitting here that Mercury is retrograding in between. And that can also bring up either people from your past, relationships from the past. And it was interesting to me because this week I received phone calls from two different people that I haven't talked to in months. It's almost as if, the energies are pulling in people to maybe complete patterns with, or to pick up something new and move forward with a new energy with them. So we'll be looking at some of those dynamics as we do readings today as well. The end of the Mercury retrograde cycle, and for those of you who've listened to my show long enough, you realize that Mercury has 3 weeks before it goes retrograde that we call the shadow period. Then there's the 3 weeks during the retrograde, and then about 3 weeks after the retrograde where we can finally say we are done with that Mercury retrograde cycle. And that is that occurs at the point where Mercury passes the degree at which it went retrograde, and that won't happen until October 24th. So we're still playing in some of the energies of Mercury retrograde for a while yet. So again, keep your thoughts clean, keep your voice, what you're going to say to people, clean. Think, in other words, before you speak. As a lot of people may blurt things out unthinkingly. I did that this weekend in a class, I blurted something out for a person I was doing a reading with, and I don't know where it came from. It was most embarrassing, and it wasn't even the right person. And so I had to laugh at myself because Mercury retrograde always gets me that 3 weeks in between the time it is in the shadow and it goes retrograde. By the time it goes retrograde, I'm skating fairly easily because I have natal Mercury in retrograde. And then again, so as we get to October 9th-ish, I'm going to end up being hit again. So it works a little differently if you have Mercury retrograde in your natal chart. So just one more of the fun things we're working on for the fall. The next big news for us coming up is, of course, the full moon across Libra and Aries on September 27th or 28th, depending on where you are in the world, at 4 degrees of Libra Aries. And this actually brings to a close the series of eclipses that were happening across the Libra Aries axis. And this is why I was saying that, you know, Mercury going retrograde in Libra is so interesting, because it's retrograding backwards through territory that is going to be eclipsed by both the sun and the moon. So very powerful time for us as we start to really look at our connections with other people. What are our relationships with people, and how do we connect more fully? And don't forget, as I always tell people, that the most important relationship that you can have is with yourself. And as you're looking at your relationships around you, remember that they're usually mirrors of things that are going on for you. So as you're going through your life, if you start to notice any issue popping up, especially in the window here of the retrograde and the eclipse, any issues for you that pop up with other people, what is really going on? Kind of reel it back inward to yourself and see if there's something that you can get more clarity on for what does this mean for you? And not to make yourself bad or wrong, or, you know, make it your fault or blame anybody, but why would you be seeing something, a problem, let's say, in a relationship outside of yourself if there wasn't something within you that is resonant with that energy? So I hope everybody kind of understands that. The switchboard is open, so if anybody has questions about that, you can call the number at 347-205-9869, and I'd love to answer any questions people have about that. I see we have quite a few people that want readings today too, so I'm going to try to move this on a little faster so I can maybe get to more people today than I was able to last week. So let's actually take our first caller now, because I want to take a look at some of the interesting things. The advantage I have of people who contact me earlier in the day is that I get a chance to sort of look at their chart. So I already have an idea of what kinds of things are going on for them. And because we've been dealing with Mercury retrograde here and the talk of these eclipses, I really want to bring in my first caller today, Mila, so that we can talk about what's going on in her chart, because it's very interesting. And of course, for everybody who is listening, you know, this, you may recognize some of these things that I say to her as possibly happening in your own life, because you don't live in a vacuum and we're all together in this world. And if you have questions also, you can write them in the chat room. I do have the chat room window open, and I do check that periodically as well. Do I have Mila on the line?
Yes, I'm here, Janet.
Hey there. How are you?
Well, I'm looking forward to getting some wisdom for you. I feel like a lot is brewing. I feel a lot of frustration between the Venus retrograde and now this retrograde and the Black Moon. Last time you had Laura Walker on, I realized that because my Black Moon is in Aries, I'm affected by it being in Libra, and I was like, I can't take it anymore. So hopefully you'll provide some good news for me.
Well, certainly some interesting news, because for right now, the thing that jumped out at me at your chart really is that a lot of the energies that are building up for this early fall, this part of the equinox, are in your 12th house. And by birth, you have Pluto and Uranus both in a conjunction in your 12th house. You just happen to be that lucky group born, you know, 65, 66, and 67, where those two planets were in a very close conjunction. So, and I think I've talked to you about this before, where you, that sort of means that you were imbued with the energy of rebellion and revolution, because that's the energy that you were birthed into. And that's what those two planets were creating, the possibility of a paradigm shift. So in some respects, you come here with an expectation already of a new paradigm, a new way of being, the way things should work. But because everything in the physical dimension being a little denser doesn't necessarily happen in the same timeline that your expectation is. And those two planets have been hit, or they will be hit later on this year with Jupiter, being this is a good thing, but they were hit almost exactly by the new moon this last weekend. Your Pluto sits at 18 degrees of Virgo, your Uranus at 20 degrees, so the new moon was sitting at 20 degrees. And so that means the moon and the sun both were at that same degree. So did anything come up for you over this past weekend and even a few days leading up to the weekend that triggered some fears or some blocks or showed you where you might be limiting yourself?
That's a good question. I mean, it sounds superficial, but maybe it's not. So I'm just going to say it. Okay. I really realized that I want to step into a position of power, and I want to have power and influence and glamour in my life, which I think that I've really downplayed that desire for so long because, you know, people telling mm-hmm. me that these are superficial desires, but I really felt it strongly this weekend.
Mm-hmm. That's you being authentic, right? Because when you start to listen to what other people are saying to you, and then if you make it your truth, that comes through that 12th house, right, where you're kind of covering up your own truths by the conditioning from people around you or from society, institutions that you've been exposed to throughout your life. And human design, we would call that conditioning. We need to undo your conditioning. So really, as I'm looking at this for you now, I'm thinking to myself, well, I think when you get clarity like that on what it is you really desire, that is a huge gateway or a portal or a doorway that opens up for you to living your truth. Now, let's switch a little bit to the Black Moon Lilith, because she, as you heard when Laura was on the show, is in a conjunction with destiny up until until the eclipse period, the 28th. And so you still have them together in your 12th house. They're still digging up stuff, right? Your natal Lilith is even more interesting because she's in Aries at 14 degrees with Uranus sitting on top of her. So you have this sort of mutual thing going on where you're being sort of awakened, kind of like Black Moon Lilith shaking you by the shoulders and saying, live your truth, right? Live your truth, not someone else's. So in the meantime, then, with a 12th house involved with some of this other energy, then you really have to start learning to let go of other people's expectations and living from your own expectations. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. And it feels something that you said earlier. It feels like a little bit of a personal revolution of like I'm done with everybody's rules and regulations. I don't have faith in them, but I have faith in myself. That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah. And that's very powerful for you. And the realization is that Mercury for you is in Libra in your first house and very close to your natal Mars, which means that you were really kind of taking the time to look at more closely as to what is important to you. And now today, of course, Mercury's turned retrograde and it's going to back up through Libra across your ascendant. It crossed your ascendant already a few days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. And now it's going to backward transit over it. And it's going to meet up again with that Black Moon Lilith. And then it's going to move forward again over your ascendant. So you're going to have more. I think that little aha that you might have had last week is maybe the minor piece of the shakeup that's coming. Because now what do you need to do, right? What do you have to do to get really clear about what's right for you? Because you're going to get this opportunity to really start to live that truth for yourself. Now, the sun coming through the 12th house is interesting because it's sort of shining a light into the darker places, the places that you haven't either been willing to look at or that haven't really been very clear to you. And so I think some of those ahas that are coming up are, you know, you finally, because the sun crossed over Pluto, you're empowering yourself. And, of course, those two planets, Pluto and Uranus, are going to be hit by Jupiter later this coming 2016. You have ample opportunities, Mila, to empower yourself and to move forward with your own plans, irregardless of what everybody thinks. Why would anybody think it's a bad thing to want glamour or importance or power? Because if you have it and you're using it properly, you are empowering those around you. It's not just you living in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Right? So you get to... Go ahead.
My question would be then, this seems like a lot is going on, and I think I feel it internally. Is this the right time to take external action, or do I wait till the dust settles? Because I do have the intention to reach out to some powerful people on some creative projects, and now I'm not sure if this is the right time.
That's tricky. That is tricky, but here's what I would say to that. One is that Neptune has been retrograde now since July, and I'm switching to that planet because it calls us to our higher knowing, our intuition, our inner power. And if your intuition is telling you to reach out and contact somebody, it trumps anything else that's going on.
Okay, that's
but
great.
But know this, with Mercury retrograde, it may be... it may behoove you to be more careful in your dealings with people, to look deeper, to if you're building connections with people, because, you know, it's in the partnershiping sign of Libra, then it may be something where we really want to make sure that we work with this energy of building the relationship, because something can happen. You might get, you know, misunderstood. They may get misunderstood. So you want to make sure you stay clear of making any hard set agreements with people right now, but certainly reach out. You know, feelers, that's a good word, right? Feelers, and see what pops up then in the after the eclipse, right? The eclipse coming in at the end of September is another one of what I always call their game changers. Right. So little feelers that you put out now based on an intuitive knowing can pay off big after we get past some of this real intense energy into October. It's never not a good idea to build relationships, let's say, one piece at a time.
Okay.
Right. Just don't jump in wholeheartedly with blinders on. You know, because Mercury is retrograde in a relationship sign, you want to make sure you're seeing everything, hearing everything clearly with them. Okay?
And that applies to romantic relationships, I'm sure.
You know, romance for you is a really tricky thing because Lilith is in your seventh house by birth. And, you know, Uranus sitting on top of her has probably been one of the more interesting rides for you in this year. It's the first time in your life that planet's ever sat here. Probably, you know, the last time it will, because it'll take 84 years from today for this to happen again. So doubtful that that's going to happen. So it seems to me right now there's a lot of energy around you becoming yourself, your true self, because in Lilith, the shadow, or the Lilith in Aries is the shadow of dependence versus independence, being afraid to stand out there on your own, maybe a little fear around being seen for who you truly want to be. And I think you have some shoring up of yourself to do here first. And then a little bit later on, this is going to shift for you. So build them piece by piece. If somebody does show up in your life that's a love interest, then build it slowly.
Okay, that is a challenge. I will take up. Well, this
but
is
again,
always so...
Listen to your intuition. That is the big thing for you, Miss Taurus. Listen to that inner voice. The inner voice. Yeah, so for the time being, a lot is going on internally with you that is ready to explode outwardly, because the sun is going to cross your ascendant here in the next few weeks, and Mercury is going to cross that ascendant twice in the next few weeks. So you've got a lot going on of getting clear on the inside so that what you bring to the outer world is truly authentically you. Okay?
Okay. The key word is authentically me. That's what I'm tattooing on my wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's all good.
Well,
it's all good.
Well,
really,
thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much for calling in today. It's always good to talk
to you. Thank you, Janet. You're so wise. I so appreciate you. So appreciate you. Have a wonderful day.
Bye for now. So one of the other interesting transits, of course, going on starting tomorrow is Saturn moving back into Sagittarius. We kind of got a taste test of this earlier in 2015. From January until June, Saturn was sitting in Sagittarius, but it was every day it was moving closer and closer backwards to Scorpio, where we had to clean up some of the more emotional things that were going on in our lives. Now that energy is going to squarely put us into the territory of looking at our beliefs. And, you know, it's really kind of interesting how we're seeing in the news more and more every day just about how ideologies are butting up against governments, or the beliefs of religion being pitted up against the reality of daily living. And here in the U.S., but I would assume other countries are also having these same kinds of issues. And this is going to get deeper and deeper as we go on throughout 2015 and into 2016, and even into 2017, because we have Saturn in Sagittarius for almost 2 years now. So it should be an interesting time. And I was looking back to see when the last time Saturn was in Sagittarius, and that would be through the mid-80s, which was a time of, if you've been in the metaphysical or New Age community for any length of time, it was during the harmonic convergence. So there was an opening there for a lot of new spiritual concepts and dynamics and open-mindedness to enter into the daily conversation and become more in the mainstream as opposed to hidden. You know, it's not like the New Age is, or metaphysical concepts or anything brand new on the planet, but what is different as of Saturn's last transit through Sagittarius is the openness through which we're seeing it play out. And I would say there's a lot of people out there now with very different thoughts around spirituality versus religion. And what we're seeing then in some of the things that the clashes between ideologies is, how do we come to a new normal with and live peacefully with an intolerance of everybody on the planet, and not have this sort of us versus them mentality going on? So it's really going to be interesting. Now, of course, in the United States here, we're getting ready for the 2016 elections. And of course, it's always, it's a circus. I swear to God, it's a circus right now with the Republican field, you know, trying to get down to a candidate. And I was thinking about Donald Trump and how, you know, they had the debates last night, and how when I was thinking about Donald Trump, who was elected in the mid-80s, or was the president in the mid-80s here, was Ronald Reagan, an actor, a Republican. And I was reading an article about how, you know, Ronald Reagan would be turning over in his grave if he saw what had become of the Republican Party at this point in time. So really, really fascinating to see how Trump bears out through this election period, and who is really literally going to step up to the plate that can carry the Republican Party. And I'm not waxing political here, but it's just always kind of fun in the astrological atmosphere to see what is happening. So Saturn in Sagittarius for everybody, though, look at your own personal beliefs. You know, see where it is that your own philosophies maybe need to become updated. What doesn't fit for you anymore? For example, when we were talking with Mila, I probably should have even brought up Saturn in her case. But, you know, where is that old belief that we, like in her case, where she'd always, you know, heard, you know, it wasn't okay to be glamorous or to want power or to be your authentic self? So we all are carrying these kind of beliefs. And what do you want to take? What do you want to take forward from here? Who do you want to be from here on out? Those are the questions you want to ask yourself over the next couple of years with Saturn in this part of the chart. Okay, so let's see if we can take another caller. Teresa is next. And Teresa, who has a birthday tomorrow, it looks like. Teresa, are you on the line here with me?
Yes, I am.
Well, happy early birthday to you. In fact, have I done readings for you before, Teresa?
No.
Okay, so let me get your birth information entered in here really quickly. And this is going to be tricky because, person, there we go. Because I have to swing back and forth between windows in order to get this information. Are you okay with sharing your last name with us?
Sure. It's Sixberry, S-I-X-B-E-R-R-Y.
Okay, I recognize your name. Why? Yeah, I saw you on Facebook. No?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm a Blog Talk Radio show host as well.
Oh, nice. What's your show about?
Breath of Tara. It's anything and everything metaphysical or supernatural, paranormal, all of that.
Yeah. Right, that's right. All the fun stuff. I love. You know what my favorite shows are to watch on TV? Paranormal Witness, Ghost Hunters, anything alien and UFO. I mean, okay, you guys are all hearing my dark secret. Those are the shows that I watch on TV. And let's see, it looks like you were you born in Torrance, California?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and was that AM or PM? Okay, so 3:33, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's always interesting, too. Triple digits.
I have a two-hour story about 333.
Nice. And that was AM, right? Or did I just misread that?
PM.
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 Okay. So,
yeah.
So here we go. Let's pull up your chart. Now, what's your question today?
My question is, I'm feeling an awful lot of energy, and some of it I feel from my intuitive self, so or my higher self. And so I've been taking action on it, and it's like making a really nice pattern. It's a really nice thing that's forming here. And I'm wondering, it has to do with changing what I do now. I work with stones and gems and minerals, and I take people out for gold prospecting tours and blah, blah, blah. And so now I don't want to do that anymore. I want to get back into my radio show and create a new venue where I have maybe 20 guests a month that, you know, they're teaching classes, they're doing it all with me, we're doing everything, and I'm just doing the show, and I'm mediating, and kind of like a spiritual traffic director, I guess, if you will. That's kind of what I see.
I love it.
Traffic control.
Traffic controller. You know, what's interesting about that is that you've just had your Saturn return. As Saturn was hitting about 28 degrees of Scorpio, you were having your second Saturn return. And you know what's really interesting about the second Saturn return? The first one we have, which is around age 30, let's say 29, it's really sort of the opening to adulthood, to where we really realize now, wait a minute, I can't mess around anymore. I have to get, what is my purpose? What is my path? Life gets a little more serious with that first Saturn return.
Mm-hmm.
The second Saturn return is more of a letting go of and getting more down to authenticness. So, for example, where the first Saturn return may see you moving out into the work world because, you know, society says you should have a good job with good benefits and, you know, that kind of drive that we have to succeed in what we do in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The second Saturn return always brings us back to who do we want to be in the world? That's how I look at that second Saturn return. And your Saturn happens to be very closely conjunct your North Node or your destiny in the 10th house of career and profession. This makes perfect sense to me that you are about to embark upon what may feel to you like much more in alignment with who you really want to be and not necessarily what you think you have to do. Does all that make sense?
Yes.
And this is really huge because Saturn, you know, almost immediately as it moves into Sagittarius tomorrow on your birthday, hits your destiny. And so I think you're really seeing the light as to where you really want to go and who you really want to be in all of this. Now, there is, you know, not to be indelicate, but a crap load of planets in a very small period or a small space in your chart. Venus, Mars,
yeah.
Jupiter, the Sun. Transiting destiny, Black Moon, Lilith, and Mercury, all between, let's see, about 15 Leo and 15 Libra. So that's about 60 degrees of the sky. And it certainly means that we have a lot of energy focused in some key areas. For you, one area is relationships. And, you know, it's the seventh house, so we're not talking the lighthearted relationships, the superficial kind. We're talking more of partnership energy. And mm-hmm. that partnership energy is being played out for you with Venus, Mars, and Jupiter. Then the eighth house, which is sex, death, and rebirth. I call it the transformation house, is where your sun, black moon, Lilith, destiny, and Mercury are sitting. So something's cooking here. Something big is changing. And
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm listening.
Don't get the deer in the headlights look. It's not that kind of deer. It's the good kind of transformation being driven, I think, by Saturn's return. And and it's very near your midheaven that Saturn hit the return. And the midheaven is the most elevated point in the chart because that's who we are in the world, how we want to be seen in the world. That's why we always think of the 10th house as being your authentic self, right? Because that 10th house mm-hmm. designation or that midheaven. So to me, this is all about you becoming more authentic to who you want to be, not necessarily what you want to do, but who do you want
right.
to be? And then that drives what you do from here. Okay?
Okay.
Now, let's take a look at another little tidbit. As this is happening, your next eclipse, that is the big one, if you will, is on the fourth degree of Libra, and it's on the 28th of the month, and that puts it in your eighth house, across your eighth and your second house. And this one is going to be interesting, I think, because it sits in a place that is about self-worth, right? And by birth, you have Aries in the second house, which is really where self-worth is. So and it started in Pisces, moves on over to Aries. That tells me there's a journey here about you really encapsulating what's true for you. Who are you worthy to be?
Right.
Right. So, and that part of the journey is being eclipsed by the moon this time. And it's pretty much visible. This is a visible eclipse across almost the entirety of the USA. And that means that it's geo-effective for us. I mean, it means it affects us here for a very long time. 18 months or more the effects of this eclipse be in play. So this is you transforming more and more every day toward what is what are you worthy of being and aligning yourself with your values. Right? Your values. Nobody else's, but yours.
Okay.
And in there, of course, in Aries is Uranus anyway, so this has been a revolution already in the making for you.
Yep. Yes, definitely.
All right. Now, here is some little tidbits just to kind of warn you about how things may show up for you. Not in a bad way, warning. God, I say that word and then it makes me want to cringe. But your natal black moon Lilith is sitting on top of Chiron in Aquarius. To me, that spells a lot of issues around powerlessness. Those are your shadows, right? Powerlessness. I can't change anything because I feel powerless. So a lot of the growth around your first 50 years in life was about claiming more and more of your power. Does that sound familiar to you? Like the shadow, the fear was that I really have no power in this world. I can't really do anything. But in reality, you really can. And Pluto now has moved into your 12th house where, you know, by tradition in astrology is where the hidden things are. Our hidden fears, the things that have stopped us, our self-sabotaging behavior, where we feel limited instead of limitless. So when I look at Pluto anymore, I think of empowerment. And so you're empowering yourself bit by bit here to really let go of some of those old beliefs about yourself because they're not serving you. They're not serving you. And and if you're not going to do it now, when? When would you do this? Right? So take the proverbial bull by the horns here and ride out into the world doing and being who it is that you really want to be and what it is that you really want to do. There's no time like the present. And your present is right now wrapped and ready to give you as a birthday present tomorrow.
I know, I can't believe it.
All right, okay. Now real quickly, I want to, before I let you go off the line, I'm going to switch charts over to a solar return chart. Just because you're on the phone, if you hang up, I would not be happy with myself if I let you go. Now, where will you be on your birthday geographically?
Where will
tomorrow?
I be?
Yes.
I will be at the London Bridge Resort in Lake Havasu City with my girlfriend from the Las Vegas Fire Department. And we are going to see if I can get me booked at some of the local resorts to debut and talk about Organite.
Ooh, cool. What's Organite?
I have some of my pieces currently in the Las Vegas Fire Department 911 dispatch office. And some of the dispatchers, both male and female, are no longer having headaches. From the big tower that they just put up a year ago, the big new tower, the super microwave tower.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they just put one up here in my city, in Lake Havasu, and I didn't sign up for that. I signed up to do something about it.
Nice. Good
That's
for you.
All I'm going to say about that.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I'm looking at your solar return chart now. Your actual birthday is set to happen at 10:17 p.m. tomorrow evening. And because it never happens at the same time, it's about when the sun comes back to the same degree of the sign it was in when you were born. And that happens tomorrow night. Now, looking at the sun then, I have to find out where's the sun, because that's going to drive some of the big themes for you this year. And the sun and destiny and Black Moon Lilith are all conjunct within very close proximity of each other. In other words, in your fifth house of joy, of creativity, of fun, of risk taking, you have to jump out there in the world this year. That's kind of what the sun is driving you to. Now, the other luminary, the moon, is also important in all of this. It gives us sort of maybe the more inward growth that's going to be going on. It's in your sixth house. Conjunct Saturn, exactly, which is interesting because that means that Saturn and the moon by transit are conjunct your natal Saturn and your destiny by birth. So again, this is the where the rubber meets the road kind of energy, right? It's not enough to just have those great blazing ideas and pie in the sky dreams. Now you have to actually do something with them. So this is the year for that. All right.
Totally awesome. I just gave a proposal to a huge group in writing today and asked the lady that runs the organization if I could host all of her people. And she was like, oh, let me formulate an email and send it out right now to all my people. And we're shooting for the 15th of October.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
This month I've kind of resigned to just doing what was absolutely very, very clear to me and working on myself that,
good.
You know, and I've been telling everybody, just drop what you're doing and work on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
And it's interesting because your birthday and you being a Virgo with all of this Virgo energy lining up, let's just take a quick peek at Jupiter for you. You're very close to a Jupiter return this year, because a Jupiter return means when Jupiter comes back to the same place it was when you were born. When you were born, it was at 15 degrees Jupiter. And so that makes this a great year for you. So keep that in mind.
Oh, awesome. Well, what day should I buy a lottery ticket? No.
If only. If only I knew that, I would buy the lottery ticket for myself. So... anyway, it's been awesome talking to you. Thank you so much for calling in today, and happy birthday. I wish you the best this year.
Okay, thank you so much for your time.
You are most welcome. Take care now.
Okay,
have
bye-bye.
Fun on your birthday. Okay, bye-bye.
I will.
All right, so awesome stuff here. I've lost the screen. Where am I? Oh, producer of mine, who is next?
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
This is Tom.
Janet, we have Tom on the line.
Yes, we do.
Janet,
are
you there? Yeah, I can hear you, Tom. We may have lost Janet.
Oh, Janet. Oh, boy. I'll hang on.
Okay.
Hopefully she'll call back in.
Yeah, just a sec here.
So where are you, Steve? What part of the nation?
Oh, I'm in the Midwest. We're live on the air. I'd rather
not.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Hang on. I think Janet's trying to call back in. I'm going to put you back on mute for the moment.
Okay, great.
Okay, folks, it sounds like we've lost Janet momentarily. I'm waiting for her to call back in. So hang tight.
Hello. 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 Hello? Oh, boy. Hello? Hello?
Hello?